So there's a FedEx in a shopping plaza that's near me that I go on that plaza fairly frequently. And this FedEx is fascinating to me because its clientele seems to be women between the age of 30 and 50 who are good-looking women, and they all drive nice cars.
Okay.
Like, I sit in the parking lot.
With binoculars?
No, right there. I yell awooga. No, but it's like the women that come out of there, it's like 75% of the people that are there are like good-looking rich women. At a FedEx, at a just normal shopping plaza. Isn't that weird? Doesn't that strike you as very odd? That it's not more like normal people? What are these women shipping?
These sound like hot stepmoms near me. They're probably mailing their ugly first husbands for alimony.
But they also have enough money. Why are they doing the shipping?
Well, don't you know it's also that FedEx has hot delivery drivers and attractive women who drive nice cars all fantasize about hooking up with hot delivery drivers? I bet you if you were to go into that store in the back, they had a room with a delivery van in it.
So with they have the van in the room.
Yeah.
Just to help fulfill some fantasies.
Yeah.
Someone that I was at that parking lot today, and someone that I was with was like, man, if I was a poon hound, I would work at that FedEx. Like, yes, you would.
You were driving around with my dad?
Oh my God, if Dennis gets a job there.
The line's going to be around the block.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's very odd to me because it's like, I'll just like sit there and just be like, and just watch for like a few minutes. And it's like, what's going on?
You know, I have another angle on this you probably haven't considered.
What's that?
You were there too. You know what that means?
I didn't go into the FedEx.
Okay. So you're hot curious.
Yes. I know. I'm worried that I would go into that FedEx and I'd be like, no, I'm the ugliest one here.
No, they would all part for you.
Yeah.
And well, someone would hold open the door and you'd see the driver like beckoning you from the van.
Right. Well, no, but if he saw me leave my Toyota Corolla, I don't think he'd be like, no, you got to have an Acura or higher.
Actually, no, if he saw you, he'd be like, we don't always have to follow the rules.
Yeah. Some rules are made to be broken. So what if there's a whole other like FedEx, like the FedEx drivers are sick of the hot women. So they go somewhere where there's just average looking women that they get to have sex with.
Another location, you mean? Because if there's a hot location, well, there's got to be like a...
Well, like, no, the women have the FedEx where they go and there's the room that has the van. And the. So where do the FedEx drivers go?
Oh, when they just want to get
there's a room with a Toyota Corolla in it. Yeah,
that's they probably just it. Go home.
Yeah.
Hey, honey. Hey, average honey.
You're my fantasy.
Disappoint me, baby.
I mean, as long, you know, I guess there's nothing wrong with it. As long as there's a bunch of consenting adults that are doing this in the FedEx, I don't have a problem with it. But it just is odd. Because yeah. I mean, there's a UPS store that I go to drop off my like Amazon returns.
What's the clientele like there?
Normal. Regular.
Huh.
And I would argue that this UPS store is in a nicer part of town.
In a sexier part of town.
It's the sexier part of town.
Sometimes that's enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I just wanted to put it out there. Listeners, if you want to know where this FedEx is, if you are in the market for a lady of means who's attractive, I have actually one friend I think I should be telling about this FedEx.
That's the friend I thought was with you in the car.
No, he would have just left the car and gone into FedEx. No, but you can send us a DM us on social media @veryfinefriends. Speaking of which, Welcome to Fairy Fine Friends. I said that kind of weird. It sounded like Fairy Fine Friends. Very fine friends. How are you, Francis?
I mean, yeah. I'm not as good as a FedEx driver in the next best part of town, but I'm doing okay.
FedEx driver next to a pot belly, but but you're doing pretty good.
I just picture that's what someone described them if they were sitting next to me.
That's what the FedEx driver, it's like, it's he's at work and he's next to a pot belly and he goes home to his average wife. He's next to a pot belly. He's surrounded by it.
Yeah.
Is that a terrible name for a restaurant? I like Potbelly. The sandwiches are good, but why name not? Why be like, you're going to get fat if you eat this?
At least they're honest.
Yeah. Like, would you go to a restaurant called Dump Truck Ass?
Kind of.
It's probably pretty good food.
I mean, I'm good for a joke. Like when I see like a Thai or like a pho place and it's like a pun. I'm like, I want to go.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one that was unforgettable. I'm like, you deserve to have you try your soup.
Did you try it?
No.
Was it forgettable?
I was en route to another location.
Yeah.
<You didn't> I was with someone else.
Oh.
They already decided on a place. So what was I going to do? Be like, I saw a pun. Please.
I got to go.
Go back.
Quick interruption. Every week on the podcast, we do something where our producer, Joe, gives Francis and I each our own secret word. Throughout the course of the podcast, we need to find a way to slip the secret word into our conversation without the other person noticing. If the other person can correctly guess the secret word, they get a point. And right before we die, we add up all the points. And then we get a prize, whoever has the most points for guessing the most secret words. Here's Joe with today's secret words.
Jenna's secret word is consenting. Jenna's decoy word is 14. Francis's secret word is Einstein. Francis's decoy word is masturbation. Back to the pod.
You know what I'd like to do?
I think I have an idea. Let's hear it.
I'd like to hear the invention of the week. Inventions.
Oh, I was way off.
What did you think?
Yeah, I'm just joshing you. Oh, you want an invention?
Yeah.
Oh, you want an invention? I'll give you an invention.
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is.
Okay.
You know how traffic sucks?
Oh, I do know that.
You know how I had a previous invention that helped people move around town, but it was maybe not so practical?
Your catapult ball thing?
Yeah. I hit the drawing board. I have a new solution. You know how it would be cool if you could ride a train to work if it got you there fast?
Yes, I do know that.
Is your seatbelt buckled? Because you're about to fly out of that thing.
Okay.
Here's my invention.
Into traffic.
No.
Okay.
Here it is. I was thinking about this today while I was in traffic. If... if you... Here we go. If you could get in, you know how sometimes like in the tube or, you know, on the subway, like just a lot of people?
In the tube, like a jolly old London.
Jolly old Bridget Jones's tube.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there could be a lot of people standing next to each other, right?
Yeah.
So here's where it gets cool. You get in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're standing, you stay standing.
Okay.
You hold on to the ropey thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in like a train-shaped container. Okay?
Yeah.
And then a helicopter picks it up and drives it across town and sets it down.
With other people in it?
Yeah. It's a bunch of people. It's like a subway. It's a subway for the sky. It's what's Latin for above?
Superway.
That's it. The superway.
Okay. I'm assuming they're going to have to be stops like a train.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're still kind of far apart, I'm assuming. You can't have them like, so you still, there's still a lot of commuting going on. It works just like a train, except for a helicopter carries it.
Yeah, it's okay. A super way. Yeah.
What's the benefit? What's the benefit of having the helicopter carry it if it's just taking you to fixed points like a train would? Why not have it just be on rails?
You've basically invented something between a puddle jumper and a bus.
Which there's clearly a need for. And the reason it's better is because, look, let's face facts. They're not going to lay down tracks for a subway or a big train. They're just not going to do it. They've had time. They've shown us they're not going to do it. So we need to pick up the slack and do our own thing.
We must take to the sky.
We're away.
What weight capacity can a helicopter handle?
5,000 pounds.
Okay, so how much does this train itself weigh? I wouldn't be surprised if a train car weighs close to 5,000 pounds.
Well, I did just pull that number out of nowhere, so it could be more.
Okay.
Joe will look it up. And while we're talking about this, yes, it's not going to go from... Although it could go for just a couple of miles. Listen, it's just like a bus system. Some of them are dropped. You go to the one where it's taking you where you want to go. Oh, I need to go 5 miles away? You get on this one. Oh, I need to go across town? You get on this one. But I haven't told you the most exciting part.
Okay.
You know how people are scared of falling from the sky?
Yes, I do know that.
If there was any sort of issue, the helicopter could let the train go. The train has a couple of parachutes that will deploy, but also...
Like Operation Dumbo Drop?
Yes, yes. Okay. But also there's more. Because you're in an enclosed space. The cabin. So you know how they say on planes, like, oh, an oxygen mask will fall down and
yeah.
you'll be okay? Mm-hmm. You'll be okay, kid, as they say?
Yeah.
Little mouth tubes drop so that you can breathe oxygen. Because the whole cabin's going to fill the proprietary hardening foam that squeezes in between everyone. So that if there is impact, you know, you're like in a gelatinous foam where it takes most of the shock.
Okay.
And you're breathing in the air tube.
So all these air tubes coming out the top.
You better suck on it, yeah.
And then, and then how long does it take to get out? And how many people have had a panic attack because they're trapped in this gelatinous foam with just a breathing tube?
Well, keep in mind, this is a rare event.
Okay, so parachutes deploy from the train car, presumably to, as gently as possible, lower it.
Yeah.
Then the thing also fills with foam very quickly.
Yes.
But you also have to put the tube in really quickly. What if somebody misses the tube?
They have a 10-second window.
Okay, what, you know how then the airplane, they always say, do your mask first and then a child?
Yeah.
Like, what if there's not enough time to be like, ah, and then baby, and then the baby doesn't know what's happening, and...
There are risks in life. This is one of those risks.
You would need two of the world's largest helicopters to carry one average-sized passenger train.
Wait, just a train or a train car?
Train car.
Okay.
Okay. That makes my invention all the richer. Beautiful, isn't it? The sight of two helicopters side
by
side.
Investors, if you're listening, and we know you are.
What about just helicopters that take you from place to place?
Well, that can only take a couple of people. We're trying to, you know, help multiple.
The masses?
Yeah, the masses.
Okay. What about the potential for... You're not going to have very many stops because all these helicopters would be hitting each other going from place to place in the air. Wouldn't they?
No.
Oh, okay.
The training is...
You looked at me like I was an idiot.
They'll be told specifically during their onboarding that that's not allowed and don't do it.
They will be shown a VHS in their half-day training that says don't hit other helicopters.
Well, the helicopters are... See what we're doing is we're going to weld two of those... helicopters together side by side with enough space so that the propellers, the blades never hit each other. Or it could be one in the front and one in the back.
I like the idea of welding two helicopters together, though.
We don't talk about it enough, that's for sure.
Let's go back to the foam. the edge. Okay. What about, can you invent some kind of proprietary technology that makes everybody and the train car quickly... The birds are jealous. I don't know if you can hear the birds in the background, listeners, but they're jealous of all the new helicopters.
They're chiming in as
they're like, no, this is our space.
Yeah.
What if instead of foam, there's a proprietary technology that shrinks everybody in it and the train car itself down to an ant so that it can fall and then not get hurt, which we learned about, or which I learned about a few episodes ago. It seems just as possible.
Come on. If Rick Moranis couldn't do it...
He did do it. He could do it, because he did. They made a whole movie about it.
Yeah.
He shrunk the kids. It's titular.
Honey, he did.
And then he blew one up.
And then they shrunk themselves.
Yeah. Great films. We should watch those sometime.
Yeah.
Sure, that's one way to go. I'm trying to pitch this to people who are scared of being shrunken too, so...
But not scared of being smothered to death by foam?
It's not a smothering foam. It's a helping foam.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
you can get out of it. It tears. It's like bread.
Well, if it tears like bread, then how is it saving you? I guess. Maybe.
Well, it's for shock. It's for impact. Mm. You know, if you had 2,000 sheets of bread between you and your car door and you got into an accident, it would help.
That sounds kind of comfortable. Just laying a bunch of white bread down and
yeah.
Now just you're getting it. On it like a mattress.
Now you're getting it.
Yeah. That does sound kind of good.
Yeah.
There will be signs, listeners. Yeah.
There's one thing that we haven't really talked about, why this is a huge step forward for passenger technology.
Oh, well, please. I mean, I feel like you've already sold it, but if you feel like you need to further sweeten the deal.
I do. The reason a lot of people don't ride on trains is because of public masturbation.
Yeah.
This will cut down on that to zero.
How?
Because you have to stand up and hold the...
Subways, you have to do that. That's why they're called strap hangers.
Well, everyone knows it's harder to do that in the sky.
Yeah. Everyone knows that, Jenna.
I think that'll just... The people that are publicly doing that, they are not... They're not doing it because it's like, well, it's so easy. I have to do it.
They're doing it because of the rumbles of the road beneath them. It wakens things.
That's just... No, I think the being in public is the main motivator.
No.
No?
Nope. I'm telling you how it is.
Oh, okay.
That's why I don't take public transportation. The risk. The risk of the rumble.
Because you're a good citizen.
Yeah. Yeah. Also cameras and stuff.
Oh, so it's really more the fear of getting caught.
It's both. You can be good and you can be scared.
Okay, so so this will somehow magically prevent that.
Yes, yes, it will, without magic.
So wait, does that imply that the helicopter ride, the train helicopter ride is going to be... So, it's going to be so chaotic that people are going to need to hold on with two hands.
Yep. Well, it's fun too. It's like a little bit of woozy travel.
What about for the people who get air sick or car sick?
What about the people who don't like bean soup? They don't eat bean soup. They don't go on our thing. You know what I mean?
But you are pitching this as a way to help the masses.
I'm sure there's people who get car sick who ride on the subway. Okay, you need to get somewhere. You're just gonna have to bring a vomit bag. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not God. I can't solve every problem. I can only use numbers and symbols.
So, okay, so why? So this is better than a train because people aren't building trains?
Yes, the government won't do it.
I don't know. I feel like they keep trying to force new light rail on us.
Yeah, but not in the way I want.
What about an elevated train?
You know I'm all about it.
Less light rail, more white bread to cushion our transport.
I think we just found our our shouting campaign thing in front of City Hall. Less light rail, more white bread to cushion our falls.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay. This is better than an elevated train. I understand not creating a subway. That's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be, that's like a lot of hard work for an established city.
We can't do it here because of our caliche.
Because of what?
Our caliche.
What is
thick clay-like soil?
Oh, I have not heard that term before.
Let me say it again. Caliche.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Noted.
Yeah, literally.
Noted. Yeah. What were we naming this thing?
My first thought was Wee. Because of us being on it.
Because we're all on it. Okay. Yeah.
Cute, right?
We're gonna call it us.
Well, because we also as the like fun hands of, oh, of course you know.
We should start saying us when we have fun though.
I'm down. Do you have any backups? Joe's usually the naming Einstein.
Let's hear it. We were calling it the Superway.
Superway?
Because it's subway, but
Superway. Yes. Yes. Yes.
This is a side note, but you saying we just reminded me yesterday there were plumbers at our house and they were doing like hydro jet cleaning of inside our pipes. It's like blasting water into it. And I was inside the house and I heard one of them be like, all right, ready? Like a ready, like go. And then the other guy goes, wee. It was funny to me.
That would have been me as the plumber.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a side note. Okay. So the Superway.
Superway's cute.
Why don't they call elevated trains that?
I don't know, Jonah.
I don't know why I'm looking at you.
Superbus is cute too, right? Superbus?
They call those superbuses, don't they?
Do they?
Those like elevated maybe bus things.
I don't know. Sorry for looking at you like it was your fault that they're not named that, Joe.
We know the power you have and refuse to use. Baby, are you down?
Okay. Well,
you'd ride it, right? I'd ride it.
Sure, if it existed. Yeah, I'd ride it.
Of course, all of this is predicated on its existence. Yeah.
I kind of actually hope that it falls out of the air just so I can experience this.
So you want to see the foam in action?
Well, I people will so quickly freak the F out because of claustrophobia and just the panic that sets in from feeling like you're trapped and you're never going to be able to get out again.
Well, only one way to find out.
Okay, so interestingly, the Superbus was, or maybe it's pronounced Superbus, I don't know, but it was a Dutch like high-speed electric luxury transport vehicle concept. And it was designed to carry 23 people at a time at 250 kilometers an hour, which is 155 miles per hour.
Nice.
On dedicated super lanes alongside highways featuring a sleek carbon fiber body. So it looks really cool. And as far as the status, it says the project, which received significant public and private funding, developed and tested prototypes, demonstrated impressive capabilities. However, the extensive infrastructure required for its high speeds meant it remained a concept rather than a widely deployed transport solution.
Like the high-speed rail in California, it's lost like hundreds of billions of dollars and not a single track has been laid.
Just give it to us.
I know.
You know how great it would be if you could take a light, like a high speed rail from Phoenix to San Diego? It'd be awesome.
Yeah. And you'd think hundreds of billions of dollars would have gotten it. Ooh, that's cool looking.
Yeah.
It looks like an eggplant with wheels.
Yeah.
I love it.
Look it up, listeners. It looks cool. The Dutch Superbus. Well, yeah,
there it is.
Where the Dutch have failed,
we shall succeed.
Yes.
We
us. Okay, well, I guess that wraps up the invention of the week. It's time now for our next segment, Freaky Thursday. Wow, wow, wow.
Oh my god, this Thursday is so freaky.
In this segment, one of us, namely Francis, is going to start a story. If at any point in time I could jump in and say the same word Francis is about to say at the same time, then we switch and I need to continue telling the story. And then Francis has to try and jump back in, back and forth. Until the story's over.
Or one of us dies.
Oh, okay. Joe, do you have bets on which one's going to happen first?
Well, I plan to kill one of you, so I don't think that this is a fair bet.
Hey, well, use your insider knowledge.
Yeah, this is the time to let it shine.
I don't play that way.
Okay.
He looked really menacing, audience, just now, just so you know.
Yep.
He scared us.
And he pulled out a shotgun.
Okay, so I'm going to begin a story.
Okay.
You may not know this about me, but I was a super Harry Potter head, and I was obsessed to the point where it was my entire personality. And when the books were being released, you'd have to wait a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they had these events that you would go to. So the book was being released at midnight, so there would be a long line around the block, and people would be waiting for the doors to open.
Oh, okay.
And I remember one time I got in right at midnight and I was like not very, I was kind of close to the beginning of the line.
And you were dressed like Hagrid?
Yeah.
Oh.
And now they had activities. And one of those activities was to create your own magic wand.
And so I pulled out. So I got to the front of the line where they had the magic wand creating station. And right then and there, I pulled out a box of
licorice.
Barillo spaghetti. And I said, you can't stop me. I'm going to make every single one of these a wand. And the employee at the event was like,
no.
Damn, he found a loophole. And they proceeded to have to sit there and watch me take each strand
spaghetti.
Of
spaghetti. Which is a great pasta. And create my own magic wand. While I was halfway through, we ran out of supplies, and there was a lot of children crying as a result. But I'm a Slytherin, and I didn't care. As a matter of fact, I broke all the wands in front of them and laughed. So, did you?
I didn't say it emphatically enough. Keep going.
Anyway, they let me continue. Anyway, I got the book at midnight and we went home and I immediately started to
read it. Yeah. And the weird thing was I had all of my spaghetti wands and I was playing with the spaghetti wands while I was
reading.
Opening the book. And as I opened to the very first chapter, I dropped my spaghetti wands. And then suddenly the words on the page started to jumble up and change. And then they rearranged themselves. And then the introduction page said for
Jenna
Francis. Because I am you in this story. I have taken over.
Yeah.
And I open up the first chapter. And it says, Francis.
You
boy
who lived
ruined a night for a bunch of children.
Which did hurt my feelings a bit, but also I didn't really care. So I kept reading, and it said that actually I was also a wizard, which seemed a little on the nose because, like, what are the odds?
Get a new idea.
Yeah, come on. But I was willing to keep reading because it was about me, and that's cool. And but things got a little weird because it was it wasn't just like, oh, here's your invitation to magic school. It was like, I need you to commit this dark, heinous crime, and then you can get your birthright. And I was like, what?
But I wanted my birthright, so I had to do it. So I went to the local food city, which is where this heinous crime was going to take place.
And I purchased all the baby food and threw it into the dumpster as per the instructions. And then tons of mothers
arrived, screaming hungry babies in tow. And they went to the food city and they're like, quickly, my baby's about to starve.
And I was like, shut up. You know what your babies aren't? Wizards. And then I laughed and I turned back and I said, check the dumpster. And then I laughed some more. And then while they were checking the dumpster,
I said it on time. While they were checking the dumpster, you started throwing your excess spaghetti wands at them and laughing even more. And as the wands hit their weary backs, as they were scurrying through the dumpster, the babies cried louder and louder. And you
Mama.
And you decided that you were going to take these children and make them wizards.
And so you thought, screw Hogwarts. I'm going to create my own wizarding academy. And so you took all of these stolen starving children. Babies and you shepherded them into an abandoned tuna factory. And you said, babies, I'm going to make y'all tuna. Wizards. And the babies suddenly weren't hungry anymore. And they snapped to attention. There was something about the command in my voice that made them really want
to listen and see what I was all about. Also, they were in keto now, so they weren't hungry anymore. And once the danger of hunger and the distraction of hunger was behind them, we could really get to work. So we developed a plan. These babies would go out into the world and find babyless mothers and cry in front of them. And when the
milk,
when the mothers bent down to pick the babies up, the babies would slap them. And then the mothers would cry. And then while the mothers were crying, I would go to the mother food aisle and throw all of that food in the dumpster.
And then, but oh no, plan backfired. Because now your army of baby wizards had all these mothers to take care of. So now the army of baby wizards brought the crying mothers to Food City. And they were like, whoa, quick, we need food for
our husbands who have been silent this whole time. And then they wondered, should we all get divorced? Meanwhile, I'm back at my home watching all this from the Food City CCTV app. And I was loving it. It was nothing but chaos. And as you know, for a new wizard, chaos is supreme. So I looked at the book I had. I went to the back and there was a phone number because I didn't want to read the whole thing. And I called a number that was on the back. It was 1-800-WIZARD.
Wizard. And the operator on the other end said, hello, Francis. And I said, All right.
Hi, I'm trying to reach JK. I need to tell her about how my evil plan is going. And the operator said, what have you learned along the way? And I said to the operator, I learned that it doesn't pay to make mothers cry. And it doesn't pay to try to make an army of wizards.
Wizards. And then the operator said, that's the incorrect answer. My son, I'm sorry. You were supposed to have enjoyed your army of baby wizards.
And I just lost. I had a mental breakdown because I just realized at this moment I did not take my antipsychotic medication this morning. And I started to wonder, how much of this is real? Did I really hurt babies and mothers? Who am I and who do I want to be? So first thing Monday morning, I made an appointment with my psychiatrist. Luckily, they could get me in the same day because I was their only client. And we talked for a while. I got a new subscription to a prescription. And the weirdest thing happened. They hit on me. They said, Francis, I'd like to go out on a date.
Date. Which was super...
inappropriate.
Awkward. Because I was only 14. And someone that's 14 should not be dating their psychiatrist.
But then I thought, what the hell? I can't get in trouble. They're going to get in trouble. And now I have an angle to blackmail them. But I said all this out loud. So they very quickly retracted the offer for a date. So I went home, asked all the remaining babies to leave, asked a few mothers to stay. And we watched Dr. Phil.
And on this episode of Dr. Phil, the good man himself said, you out there in TV land, I got a message for all of you.
Keep watching. Thanks. It was super poignant. my whole worldview started to change. And even though I felt like a normal person again, in my heart I knew that part of me would always be a little wizard.
Wizard. The end. Wow. I can't believe that happened to you.
I know.
I remember hearing something about the baby food shortage at Food City, but I didn't realize it was because of you. I didn't know you at the time. I just saw it on the news. So.
It was a super dark period, and I don't really identify with that person anymore.
Well, thank God Dr. Phil pulled you out of it.
What a man. You know the reason he's bald is because every time he helped someone, a hair went away.
Yeah. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty fun, mighty, mighty fun. Wow. Wow. I'm glad we made it through.
Freaky Thursday.
That was the freakiest Thursday I've ever had.
Okay. It's time for one final segment.
The big question.
The question is very big.
Do you have a question?
No.
It's okay, I do.
Yay!
Okay, I want you to come up with a few
catchphrases
and their meaning, or like new expressions in society, and like when you would use them. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay.
What a man, what a man, what a man.
What a mighty fine man. Here's one. Ficus time.
Oh.
That is when you need to overhear somebody else's conversation, but you can't be seen.
Oh.
So it's ficus time.
I get it.
Yeah. It's like, what is Janice up to? I don't know. We managed to do a little ficus time.
That's great, actually.
Thanks.
Wow, your first one right out the gate? Ficus time?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
I came to play, my friend.
You did? No, you not came to play. You came to dominate. Win.
Okay.
You came for the foam.
Do you have one? I'll think of some more.
Sure.
But if you have one,
we can go back and forth if you want.
That would be.
Speaking of foam, I think we should do something with foam. So maybe like catching foam, or like catching foam.
What? When does that happen?
When things are about to get rocky, like when the foam would release in one of our trains, you need to like lock in, you know, and hold steady.
So it's literally catching foam. Is that a euphemism for something?
No.
Okay.
Kitchen foam. Sorry, I didn't know ficus time.
I've got one.
Okay.
Food dumpster. It's for when a bunch of people want something and they're all clawing at it.
Food dumpster?
Yeah, like the new iPhone model that just came out. It's a total,
food dumpster.
Everyone wants it.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
They're all crying for it.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of babies.
Yeah. And mothers. I asked a few of the mothers to stay.
Okay.
Shadow life. Shadow life is Plato's The Cave. Where people just see shadows and they think it's what's happening in real life. Shadow life is anyone who's just in denial. He's living a total shadow life, my man.
Hmm. I think the phrase shadow life already exists. Oh, I hope that's not your word.
No, it's not. Well, I'll give you a pass on that one.
Because it's like when you live a double life. It's like a...
I thought that was just like if you were like living in the shadow, like no one... knows you. I'm reappropriating the term shadow.
Yeah. Not every one of these can be ficus time.
Oh, okay. I see how it is.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
What about...
What?
What about... he's a real unibrow.
What does it mean?
It means a guy who he looks like he's got two eyes. He looks like he's seeing with two eyes, but no, he's singularly focused. He's a real unibrow.
Okay. That's interesting. What about
you're gonna be saying that all the time now.
Yeah, maybe. What about Juice Magoo? Okay. It's someone who bungles everything, but they do it so sweetly. Or like always well intentioned, you know? Like I know they were trying, but they messed up. Juice Magoo.
Yeah. Yeah, Juice Magoo, that's good. I think that'll catch on. That's a good one.
Okay.
Hello,
Zeitgeist, as Juby used to say.
Tentacle freeze. That's when you have like a lot of projects going on, but you can't finish any of them. It's like you got a lot of tentacles going all which ways, but then
that's good.
It's a real tentacle freeze.
Like you're there's so much going on that you can't.
You know what to do. I have tentacle freeze. I can't finish anything. I've started 8 different projects.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What about? Table tooth. It's when you invite someone new to your group, but they talk too much.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I was trying to give you a chance to be in our group.
And then no, it's like you're exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
How about a silent scream? That's when you make eye contact. You make eye contact with a friend of yours, like when you're in a public situation and you both know you're thinking the same thing. We just silent screamed.
Okay. I feel like that's pretty close to a real thing. But we're putting words to it, and that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what you mean, the what it means, or the silent scream, or
like silent screaming is like a thing.
No, I'm reappropriating it because I want it to be fun. I don't want it to be about screaming. I want it to be like, it was so loud to both of us, but you know that thing where you like kind of like side eye your friend and then you both like raise eyebrows because you know you're both thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a silent scream.
Mm. I got one.
Okay.
Condom popping.
Is that where you're trying to trick a man into marrying you?
No. It's when you're with your friends and you see someone really hot in public and you point to him, you're like, condom popping.
Condom popping?
Yeah, implying that you would pop a condom.
Oh, I thought it meant like...
It's just wood.
Slug bug, hottie.
Which, by the way, I really love the just saying wood. Yeah, I don't know why it's very funny to me.
And no one will ever know which one you're referring to. Maybe there's a U and an L in it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's L Woods from Legally Blonde. No one will ever know.
I have one for when you finish. We've been saying the name first and then saying what it's for. I want to try saying what it's for first and saying the name. When you try to think of something in the moment and then like you forget about it and then a week later you remember what it is.
Mm.
Last week's lottery.
Mm.
LWL. Lul.
Lul. Lul. It's a real lul situation.
Mm.
That's good. So that was smart to think of the situation first as opposed to working backwards from the phrase, which is what I've been doing.
We wouldn't have gotten ficus time without that.
That's true. We'll always have ficus time. No, I can't work. I can't work that way. I can't come up with something that needs fixing and then me have a phrase for it. Zucchini fingers.
Go on.
That's a person who has really chubby fingers, but the rest of their body isn't proportional to their chubby fingers.
Okay.
Because it's like sometimes people use zucchini as a substitute for meat.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's like they look like they're meaty fingers, but the rest of their body isn't meaty, so it's fake meat. Zucchini fingers.
Okay, that's nice.
Thank you.
What about ranch bastard?
Hmm.
You know how people put ranch on things and other people judge them?
Yeah.
It's for a person that judges something you like.
So it's like a grammar Nazi for...
For food.
For food.
Yeah.
A ranch bastard? Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's real good. That'll catch on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real good. That's your trellis time.
What did you just say?
Trellis time.
That's your trellis time.
Why are you saying
that? Oh, wait,
that?
Not trellis.
Ficus time.
Ficus. God.
I like trellis time.
Trellis time. Trellis time is when...
If you're listening, and we know you are.
Trellis time is when... You have that late afternoon feeling and you just, it's that early or like late afternoon glass of wine. It's trellis time. Cause it's like you're sitting under a trellis in, Italy.
Oh. I thought it was going to be, it's ficus time, but when you have to spy on someone from above instead of horizontally,
that would be good.
Super spy.
Yeah. I don't know why I said trellis. I'm sorry. I think it's cause I'm looking at one.
Maybe. Could be.
Do you have any other catchphrases?
Nope.
All right. Sorry, I got distracted for a second there. I think we can end on Ranch Bastard. I think that was a good one.
That's great.
That wraps up The Big Question.
The Big Question.
All right.
One. Hey, you.
Yeah.
Okay.
One last bit of business.
Yep.
We all know what it is.
Everyone waits for it.
Secret words.
Secret words. You want me to make some guesses?
Sure.
I wrote down sexier.
No, I don't even remember saying sexier.
Maybe it was a state of being. I also wrote down...
You think I was just being my secret word?
Yeah, you were embodying it, yeah.
Okay.
It's crazy. Oof. I wrote down potbelly?
No, I was legitimately talking about potbelly. The sandwich shop next to the FedEx.
I wrote down...
You're welcome. Potbelly, if you're listening, we know you are. We have advertising opportunities available for you. That one was a freebie. Watch as your numbers go up. Big time, your sales are gonna increase by a good 3 to 5%. Then you're gonna come calling and you're gonna want a regular spot on this show.
Yeah. Let's just say you're gonna see a lot more hot rich 30 to 50 year old women pretty soon.
Next door to your store.
No, they're gonna start coming in because they heard this episode.
All right.
Yeah. Hot rich 30 to 50 year old women, if you're listening, and we know you are. Don't make liars out of us.
Yeah.
I wrote down the word shadow. You know, this one really scares me because I said it a bunch. Ficus.
No. I thought you were going to guess trellis.
I thought you were doing some fancy... I thought you were saying trellis so that I would say ficus another time. You mean ficus? And you could be like,
I wish I was that clever.
You are that clever. That's why I worry.
No. Do you want to know what my words were?
Yes, I do.
My secret word was consenting. And I used it before we even intro'd the show. I said, whatever happens in the back of that FedEx between consenting adults, it's not my business. Yeah.
The word consenting should never be secret. Okay.
And my decoy word was 14.
That's why you said that.
Yes. Yep.
Why did that word get populated? That's such an interesting suggestion.
And literally right after consenting.
That's true. Your suggestion general pulled the both
I'm not
up.
Saying any more than that. I'm just pointing out a fact of what happened.
Yeah. But also it kind of fit. I should have used it in a weirder context because you said you were waiting for the Harry Potter books to come out. So you were a child in this story. And so then you're now dating your therapist. Anyway.
Okay.
It worked too well.
You did a great job, as per usual.
Thanks.
As per usual. I saw you writing some things down that sometimes I didn't love, so I'm going to I'm just going to accept that this week I may lose.
Okay. It's your secret word. Caliche?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is it masturbate?
Decoy word.
No, that was.
Oh, wait. No.
It wasn't?
Well, it's.
You wrote the incorrect form of it, but.
But you said. Oh, well, then
it's
I.
The noun form.
Oh, but you said. I'm pretty sure you said the verb form. All right, well, then I didn't guess your secret word.
Yes,
or I didn't guess your decoy word.
But you did reveal that you're a bad friend.
For not fully listening. Oh, I could have sworn I wrote that down correctly. Well, I guess I'm lucky that I didn't. Woo! Well, I still have another guess for your secret word.
You never know what worse masturbation or bad masturbation saved you from.
Use your secret word, antipsychotic?
No.
Oh.
Those are my meds. Wee-oo. Just kidding. I'm off of them.
those were my guesses.
Oh, good. I really thought didn't you think she had this?
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, it was Einstein.
Einstein was your secret word?
Yeah, I said, like, Joe's are naming Einstein, so let's hear his, like...
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I know, I heard my name and I just...
Zoned out, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That checks out.
Yeah, and you know my decoy word was masturbation.
Which is so funny. I was just today thinking, would masturbate ever be a word that came up on that suggestion generator? I don't remember. There was something that prompted me to think of it as a potential secret word. And that's why when I wrote it down, I was like, what are the odds? I literally was thinking of this today. I think it was, because I remember I was listening to the episode and where Frances guessed master as my secret word.
Oh, yeah.
That's why. And then I was like, I wonder if masturbate would ever be a secret word. And then I was trying to think how I would get it in without being gross. Well, I'm glad that I accidentally wrote down your secret word wrong and you look so pissed.
I feel like I got screwed.
Yeah, and I feel like I got saved by a bunch of foam surrounding me so that I didn't hit impact with your decoy word.
See? Proprietary foam.
Yep.
Save a life, everyone.
Well, I'm glad we did some good work.
Yep. I'll be going away in my helicopter train now. It's been great, you guys.
There he goes. Bye. Bye.